What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come? Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
What should a Christian do about fantasy? Hello, I'm George Samietz, pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church in Brandon, Suffolk, and welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions. And today we're going to have quite a few of them as we look at Harry Potter and fantasy literature. What should a Christian do about fantasy? The boy wizard Harry Potter has come and gone from bookshelf to screen to DVD. He was a world phenomenon, a commercial success, not seen before it seemed to me in its capture of so many people's imaginations. I read the books, and I've eventually seen all the films, but I can't tell you much of the details of each story. I know who wins in the end. Nevertheless, names, words, and phrases such as Hogwarts and Quidditch, Expecto Patronum, Harry, Hermione, Ron, Dumbledore, and Voldemort are certainly recognisable to many people. This isn't the first time fantasy literature has captivated people, and I'm waiting to see who will come along next. Someone will. A new hero. More magic, new worlds, just waiting to be discovered and created. Prior to Potter, perhaps people visited the world of Philip Pullman's His Dark Materials, or Ursula Le Guin's Earthsea Realm, or Anne McCaffrey's Pern, or David Edding's Bulgariad and Malorian series, or they got lost in Terry Pratchett's Discworld. Many more authors may be cited, but two should not be omitted, and they are C.S. Lewis and his Narnia Chronicles, and J.R.R. Tolkien and his Lord of the Rings and the novel The Hobbit. And I could mention more, a lot more. But I hope my point is made that when we're considering fantasy, we are entering a world of imagination, literature, other media, definitely film, but also artwork and poetry, human creativity, and for Christians also, of course, the Christian faith. So when I'm talking about fantasy, I'm talking about works of fiction that create worlds where the laws of nature are different, worlds often with their own entire culture or cultures, languages, history, maybe in our world or not, with people who are like us or are like us enough that we can relate to them, worlds which often include magic and fantastical creatures. These worlds may also have powerful beings that are gods or godlike. These worlds have presented some Christians with problems. The books have raised concerns in some quarters about their depiction of magic and spells and associations with the occult, and either the lack of religious frameworks or the religious landscapes that do exist. And so in some quarters there have been calls for censorship of these books and a rejection of associated items such as films and merchandise, and explicit warnings about activities such as fantasy role-playing games as a no-go area for Christians. Since I can't see any of this going away, let's consider the issues. Should Christians read fantasy? Or to put it another way, should Christians read Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, or insert the name of the fantasy novel in question? My starting point is what I've just said. We are talking about books, literature written in a specific genre, presenting a world formed by words, which while having resonances with reality, is nevertheless not the real world. Christians are prohibited from undertaking any action that is contrary to the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. The fundamental action here is reading and imagining and all that goes with that. So if reading itself or reading a subset of what can be read can be shown to be against the first commandment, to be idolatry, to be false worship, then there is no discussion or debate for a Christian. The action is forbidden for Christians because it is in the place of God and it is something directly leading us away from God. However, this is clearly not the case. Reading isn't against the first commandment. So Christians have the freedom to read fantasy or not as they desire. But the worlds of fantasy are so often full of magic and spells, and this is forbidden for a Christian. So how can you say that Christians can read these books? I've been asked that sort of question. because the worlds of Harry Potter, Frodo, Gandalf, Peter Susan, Edward and Lucy, Bulgarian, Rincewind and Jed are not real. We are talking about literature, a different shade to Shakespeare with his witches and ghosts and fairies. And all literature is creation of an author. In this regard, people reflect reality whereby God spoke and it was so, he created reality. But people as sub-creators speak and only declare their view of reality. When they write the words down, then a world is created in a reader's mind, which is not real. There is a difference between reality and the world of words. Now, the world of words can affect and influence the real world. Why else do people write literature, poetry, songs, advertisements and the like? But the distinction remains. Reading a heroic act doesn't make you a hero, just as reading a murder doesn't make you a murderer, or reading about magic make you a magician. Now the question comes, but since fantasy books, just look at Harry Potter, can be so popular and so influential, then surely they may lead readers, especially young readers, to the world of magic and the occult. Okay, this is a good question, but it is actually an unanswerable question in terms of specifics. You can't know exactly how it will influence a reader until he or she has read the book, and then technically it is too late. So I would reply by saying that we are in a world of fantasy, and readers can tell the difference between the fantasy world and the real world. And if by some chance there is a difficulty here in telling the difference, then I'm going to first look at the reader and what's going on in his or her head and life before I look at the literature. Should obsession emerge or unhealthy focus start occurring in literature, and we could widen this not just to fantasy, but think of horror or violence or sex or crime or romance, then my starting point is looking at why the reader is pouring himself or herself into the literature rather than the literature taking control of the reader. In relation to fantasy, some Christians have tried to argue that, say, the magic in Harry Potter is different to the occult, or the world and fantasy of C.S. Lewis's Narnia Chronicles is somehow Christian. But I think this misses the point. The fantasy world is clearly that in these novels. It's a fantasy. There is no saying how these books will influence readers, but I think it is much more likely that readers will be influenced by other features of most fantasy literature. The sense of struggle to do the right thing, the value and strength of friendship, the heroic preparedness to sacrifice oneself for others, the blindness of evil, and the power of love. These are strong themes in a lot of fantasy literature, and I think they more powerfully influence readers than any magic that exists. Nevertheless, surely it would be better for the church to promote clearly Christian books. I think that the church does do that by its insistence on people reading, knowing, studying, and meditating on the Bible. Everything else, all literature, is to a degree negotiable. The whole issue of censorship exists because we as a society recognise the influences of all these secondary worlds we read about. From a personal perspective, some people may not like sonnets or westerns, but we don't say that they shouldn't exist. We just don't buy them ourselves. When it comes to literature, violence or sex, then society is more interested in the writing and who is reading it. We all recognise that words influence. Church realizes that more than most, perhaps. And so the church is called to promote Jesus Christ and what flows from a relationship with him. That's who we promote, clearly and unambiguously, Jesus and the Bible. This means that in one sense, Christian fiction, though biographies I think are different, seem to me to be rather unnecessary. If you want to tell someone about Jesus, then just do it. If someone will take a book, and hand them a gospel, or the Bible. But that's not a book everyone wants to read. And so what the church can do is promote things that are true, honourable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, and excellent. And sure, these terms are open to some debate and discussion, but they do resonate with people. We can understand and know them, and they can help us live in this world. So much of literature is aspirational, wanting something better, often love. And where stories that have those qualities then, we learn more about the human condition and can grow in all sorts of ways. But what fantasy can do with its themes of good versus evil, struggle, of sacrifice, and of happy endings, is to baptize the imagination, as C.S. Lewis once put it. Tolkien even argued in an essay on fairy stories that the reason we warm to happy endings is that it reflects a truth this world cannot ignore, shut up, or destroy, and that is the unexpected victory of Jesus' resurrection, the ultimate true happy ending. Why should we like and rejoice at a happy ending? Why indeed? If our world has been the recipient of such unexpected good news, then I, for one, am not surprised it seeps into all the secondary worlds of literature that good triumphs over evil, that love wins out, and that no matter the hardships of life, there still can be happy endings. All good literature does this, and actually, I think fantasy might do it better than most. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.